The reality is that people are dying. And I don't know how you are impacted by this, but once again, from my perspective, I'm being reminded that on the one hand, we live in a hostile world over which we have very little control. And then on the other hand, we are, as human beings, incredibly frail. For us here in Australia, it's showing itself in a really interesting way. It betrays an amazing level of fear and anxiety as the shelves of supermarkets are being stripped of toilet paper. And so as followers of Jesus, do we have anything to say to a world where disaster, sickness, and death seem to simply be part of life? One church certainly thought it had something to say. We have been exploring from John's Gospel how Jesus revealed himself as God, as I am, the eternal creator God, who is personal and present with us here and now. We have seen how Jesus is the light, the bread of life, the gate, the good shepherd. And today we will see Jesus as the resurrection and the life, as the one who has conquered disaster, sickness, and death, the one who gives us hope. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 11 and we'll read different portions as we make our way through this. But John 11 verse 1 captures a story many of us will know well. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. And then verse 11, after he, Jesus, said this, he went on to tell them, his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he, Jesus, told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 39. Talking to Martha, Jesus is going to take the stone from Lazarus's tomb away. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. The first thing that you observe in John is that disaster, sickness, and death exists. It's there. It's part of life. And John, here in chapter 11, wants us to understand beyond doubt, Lazarus is dead. The Jewish thinking at the time regarding death was that the soul would hang around the body for 3 days, seeking an opportunity to re-enter it. But on the fourth day, when decomposition commenced, it leaves. Here in chapter 11, it is day 4. There is now no hope of Lazarus recovering. To say it is the fourth day is a little like the medical staff in our world pronouncing that a person is dead. The Bible presents a very clear picture of why such things happen, of why disasters, sickness, and death exists. at the beginning of time, Genesis tells us that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. As human beings created by God in the image of God, we are created to live life. We are created for life. And so indeed, the picture of humanity in Genesis is of one of enjoying life and the goodness of all that this world has as our home. But as we read on in the account of Genesis, we also see how it all went wrong. How Adam turned his back on God. How through this act of rebellion, the whole of creation has been impacted. As the Apostle Paul explains in Romans 5, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Sin entered the world. Death is the consequence. We live with that reality today. It exists. And the impact for this world, Paul goes on to say in chapter 8 of Romans, is suffering, is a world subject to frustration and a bondage to decay. Here it is. Yes, we live in a world where bad things happen, where disasters, sickness, and death exists. But we also observe here in John chapter 11 how God feels about his good creation being impacted in this way. Verse 32. When Mary, When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. What does God feel? It's an interesting thought. What does God feel concerning the way his creation, you and I, and all that we see around about us and sense around about us, what does God feel about the impact of sin on that, on us? He grieves. It's interesting because as you read through the Gospels, we don't see and hear Jesus reacting to the presence of disasters, sickness and death with a, "Well, what do you expect? You have brought it upon yourselves." Or, "Come on, pull yourself together." God's not an Englishman. No, the opposite is true. He is full of mercy. He is moved with compassion. He saw people and looked upon them as sheep without a shepherd. And that's what we see here. Lazarus, his friend, has died. Lazarus' sisters are grief-stricken, and Jesus enters into this moment and grieves with them. As one commentator put it, Jesus burst into tears, and another, overcome by emotion, he gave way to weeping. As we look at all that is going on in the world, as we experience disasters, sickness and death ourselves, we need to remind ourselves of who God is. As the psalmist declared, you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God. God is not indifferent to our suffering. He has felt it. He has entered into our pain and says to every one of us, let me comfort you. Yes, I am the God of all comfort. But there's something else rather interesting about Jesus' grief here worth noting. John tells us he was troubled. Jesus was troubled. This word troubled means agitated, greatly distressed, angry. The Message paraphrases it, a deep anger welled up within him. Carson suggests he was outraged in spirit. Warfare uses the word rage to describe this emotion going on in Jesus. And Bruce Milne puts it this way. Jesus sees and feels the misery of the whole race and burns with rage against the oppressor of humanity. It's an amazing picture here. Jesus is not only grieving with Mary and Martha for the death of their brother. He's not only entering in to our grief, but he is angry because of that grief's existence. You see, we see in his grief, in this rage, in this troubled aspect, there's this sense of, this is not how it's supposed to be. His precious creation has been kidnapped. We see God grieving for his creation and angry at the thief who stole it. And we also see here in John 11, God making it right. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Verse 39. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. At the cross, Jesus defeated sin and death. The truth of Scripture, the declaration of the Bible, is that Jesus defeated sin and death. His tomb is empty. And now, yes, now, resurrection life has broken into this world of disaster, sickness and death. Jesus has taken back what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. He put a stop to the impact of sin. And we hear Jesus speaking to every one of us here today. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. This is truth we need to allow to sink into the core of our being. Jesus has triumphed. And as we just sang, we can face tomorrow because he lives. You see, friends, regardless of what we encounter in this world, as believers, as followers of Jesus, regardless of what we encounter in this world, even death, we can face it with confidence because Jesus has stared down everything that the devil has thrown at creation and he defeated it once and for all. And that's why the Apostle Paul confidently says, "For as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive." And again he writes, "We don't want you to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in him." Yes, we who have believed in Jesus are people of hope. People of hope. We can confidently face whatever happens, resting in the arms of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We can confidently walk into whatever situation, offering comfort and care because our Heavenly Father is the God of all comfort. We can confidently declare a message of hope to those who have no hope. And yes, we can confidently give our toilet paper away to those who need it. You see, I think that church was very clever in that signboard before. Reasons for coming to church. One, Jesus is awesome. He's awesome because he's the resurrection and the life. And two, we have toilet paper. We're willing to share what we've got. It's the Christians in Wuhan who are caring for people. And that has been the history of the church throughout its existence. The Roman emperor in the first century marveled in the midst of a plague that was grasping the world, how the Christians went out of their way to care for the people impacted by the plague. We are people of hope. Yes, let's be smart. Let's be wise. But as fear grips Australia, we've got something to say. Something people desperately need to hear. Let me pray. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you as the resurrection and life, the one who died and rose again, the one who has conquered sin and death, the very impact that sin has had on this world. You, Jesus, have conquered it. And we rest in you. Lord, yes, we see the pain of this world. We see the fear. We see the anxiety. And we grieve for those who have no hope. And we pray for them today. We pray, God, that in the midst of all the fear that is gripping the world, we pray, God, that you by your Spirit would drive people to yourself. That there would be a renewal of people crying out to you, God, desperately running to you. And yes, Lord, as we deal with this in our own lives, we pray, God, that the truth of your word would shape our thinking and behavior, that you, God, would shut us into yourselves, and that we would know the reality of hope. Hope, the hope that is in ours in Jesus. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.